first part should be known in this contract as the party of the first part.
The witness will comply under the, this I got a C rule.
Judge Hurd is stumped by this case. I've also misplaced my judge hammer.
The justice system works swiftly in the future now that they've abolished all lawyers.
My client will suggest that your client drives my client back to your client's flat, where your client will play some James Taylor.
Welcome to Opening Arguments, a podcast that pairs a comedian with a real-life lawyer. This podcast is sponsored by the law offices of P. Andrew Torres, LLC, for entertainment purposes, is not intended as legal advice, and does not form an attorney-client relationship. Don't take legal advice from a podcast.
Hello and welcome to Opening Arguments. This is episode 521. I'm Woo. Thomas. That's Andrew. How you doing?
I am fantastic, but I'm extra fantastic today because we got a special episode for you.
Yeah, I'm doing so well. I'm still on the high of the last episode. And I'm bringing it right on over to this one. We've got the knowledge fight, guys, today in our main segment to talk about someone named Owen Schroyer. People may have heard of. So right when you think you've seen every right-wing grift, there's always another grift. And it seems like possibly Owen is pulling off another grift, making a huge fuss about something that might be nothing. We're going to find out with the real experts of everything Alex Jones, and that's Knowledge Fight. So looking forward to that later. For now, though, announcements?
Yeah, sorry, little disappointment here. We will not be able to cover the lawsuit against Nirvana.
It's just, what? Yeah. I want to. Yeah. Why not? Can you say why not?
Oh, I, yeah.
You can say, okay, obviously. So are you representing one of the sides or something?
No.
Are you an expert in it? Are you going to testify?
No.
What is it? Why can't we cover it?
Nirvana's music is terrible. They're awful. I can't sit. We're going to have to. We're going to have to bring in someone else. I can't do it. I just can't. I really want to, but I can't. I'm sorry.
Oh, here I thought this was some actual legal thingy, but no, you just don't.
No, we're going to have to go get Ace Associate Morgan Stringer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong. Nirvana was great at the time.
Oh, God, so bad. No,
so good.
Just awful in every way.
Bits aside, sincerely great music. And by the way, Kurt Cobain, progressive ahead of his time kind of guy. Oh. He was really cool. Anyway, so I get it. You can't handle it. But will we be maybe covering this with Morgan Stringer, Ace Associate?
I think this would be a beautiful, fantastic segment for our very own Morgan Stringer to do some pop law.
And you will plug your ears and go la la.
And
la.
I will go play.
You'll cling,
you know,
to the idea that your '80s bullshit hair rock is somehow good. When
it
when,
was way better, but yeah, no,
Nirvana, which is like 1989 hair rock, like 1 minute away from the thing you like, was somehow way worse. I don't get it.
I have a thesis that I have prepared on this, but now is not the
We've
time.
We've got some new bonus content.
Let's not argue in front of the knowledge fight,
it's,
guys. Okay?
That's true. That's true. We better, guy. They're ringing down our doorbell here on Skype. Let's get on over to our interview with the knowledge fight. Oh, reminder, if you're a patron especially, still time to get your questions in for the live Q&A. That's on Tuesday night, the 31st, that's at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us. Get your questions in. If you are a normie, actually, yeah, this will still be out. You might be hearing this Tuesday morning. Maybe you're somebody, a dedicated listener who gets it right away, you know, like Monday late. So still time to come join us for that YouTube Q&A. Got to be a ton of fun. I want you to tell Andrew why he's wrong about music. I'm not like a super big Nirvana fan necessarily, but if we're going to argue like your 80s glam metal is good, but Nirvana is bad, that I will not abide. So, you know what I mean? Like, so send all those questions at Andrew. We'll see you for that. But for now, we've got to get on over to our interview with Dan and Jordan from Knowledge Fight.
And joining us for the main segment here are Dan and Jordan from Knowledge Fight. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Oh, thank you very much for having us.
So, such a delight.
Yeah, I'm Jordan. That's Dan. You can see him if you're listening to this on podcast audio.
Yeah.
He's doing great.
I'm the one with the pointy beard.
Indicate to the part in the spectrum, like the audio spectrum, that they see him. That's him. I mean,
yeah.
I will be in the bass area. Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever the compression peaking kicks in, that's where you're going to find me.
Jordan does the falsetto when he's really excited. So that's how you can tell him apart. We had you on before. We collaborated back in terms of the live stream to save the Senate, which was, you know, resounding success. And
It was fantastic.
And
we won.
Much worse now. I listen to your show when it comes out. If you're listening to this show, you should be listening to Knowledge Fight. So,
oh, that's very nice of you to say.
Don't say the reverse. It's fine.
Yeah. I would say don't listen to shit. Don't listen to the radio. Don't listen to this show. Don't listen to our show. Nothing.
Just right. Old fireside chats.
Yes, absolutely.
Respected presidents.
FDR only.
Breaking news, a name I only recognize from listening to your show. Owen Schroyer of InfoWars was indicted. My first question was, who the hell is Owen Schroyer? And so I thought there would be better experts, but no better experts that I would want to talk to than you guys.
Came in for that landing. I was wondering where it was going.
I feel like my life has gone so terribly when I have to hear that people only know about Owen Schroyer because of my work.
We all bring a little light into this world.
It's the legacy I hope to leave.
Look, people only know who Howard Kleinhendler is because of our show. So,
some people start like a foundation, you know, something, whatever. This is your legacy. This is what you brought.
I've started the InfoWars Employees Awareness campaign.
Oh, good. So, Owen Schroyer, who the hell is he?
Well, his first name is Jonathan.
What?
The end.
Yep.
Yeah. No, this has been Knowledge Fight. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Owen Schroyer is a guy who's really cool. His Twitter handle was All I Do Is Owen, which is really fun. He was a dude who, unfortunately, as somebody who's from Missouri, he's a Missouri guy. And he was living in St. Louis, I believe. He was working like sports coverage. You can find some old blogs he used to write about sports related issues.
That was before he changed to neckbeard related issues for the most part.
It is always hilarious when these people have like a legit background. Well, yeah, I used to cover the Detroit Lions, you know, and whatever, you know, like some sort of thing, you know, sports thing. And then it's like, now I just think there's lizard people running the government. That's my career trajectory.
It happens to most people in media, I think. That path.
I think everybody in media is eventually going to sell boner pills of some form or another. So we might as well just skip the middleman, you know?
Yeah. See, he. I don't know how deep he was in any kind of like official sports reporting capacity or world. Like he was just out of college. He's a pretty young guy, and around the time that you know Trump was starting to run. There was that fervor that was going on online, the anti-SJW, anti-feminism, Gamergate sort of tentacles.
The monsters were coming out to play.
Yeah. And so people were starting to get attention from that. And Owen Schroyer branded himself the cuck destroyer.
Oh,
and he would go to
give cucks
protests.
A break. Don't they already? I mean,
I feel like. They might want to be
punching down.
Say,
yeah. Or they're into that.
You're playing into cuck's hands. Yeah. You don't understand the meaning of the word at all.
Really? You ought to like build a cuck up like, you're the best. You're the alpha. And he's
see,
like, no,
that's how you heard him. They don't like
exactly.
That.
So he would go to left wing protests and yell at people and try and start fights. And he had a couple of like.
And did he have his own outlet at this point, or?
I think he just had a YouTube channel, as I understand. I'm not fully up to date on all the intricate details of what he was doing.
I'm glad that restores some faith in humanity. So he's the cuck murderer or whatever.
yeah, he gained some notoriety from that. I don't want to use the names that he used, but one of them was, I believe, AIDS Skrillex. Was one of the names that he gave to one of the people he yelled at a protest. These sort of gained some traction and some momentum. And simultaneously, we actually heard this listening back to old episodes. He also would periodically call into Alex's show before he was an employee of InfoWars.
Oh, wow.
And we heard an episode where it was just a caller named Owen, and it was clearly Owen Troyer.
Yeah, it freaked us out.
And so through those videos, he gained the attention of Alex, and he ended up getting a job as sort of the
bench quarterback.
Sure.
He's the Josh McCown of InfoWars.
The Steve Young to his Joe Alex's Joe Montana.
Except Steve Young, who sucks.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Does he suck? We got to talk in InfoWars adjusted terms. Does he suck at his job? You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, we obviously these people all suck, but like, is he a good Alex Jones? Does he? What if it's a requirement to do the voice? He's like, you gotta work on your impression of me. Oh, okay, you know, that kind of thing. I just recovered from my throat surgery from the last time we had you guys on. By the way, just did Alex Jones for like an hour. It's hard to not do. It's, you know,
it's brutal. I have to gargle so much tea. Just it's hard to say if Owen's good at it or not. Like, if you're on a scale of zero to Alex, he's not good.
Oh, really? Wow.
But if it's a scale of zero to other InfoWars employees, he's fantastic.
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Everyone else there are such incompetent losers that he actually kind of can handle himself with a little bit of, like, he has some poise, whereas a lot of other people kind of just embarrass themselves. Whereas, like, he doesn't, when he tries to do an Alex impression and he tries to get, like, metaphysical or esoteric about the way that the universe works and how it relates to why I don't want a vaccine. Like, it's just, it falls apart, and it's an empty impression.
It's like a 6-year-old wearing his dad's police uniform, and you're like, okay, this doesn't work on you, buddy. I know you think you're a cop.
You mean his
now,
dad's KKK uniform or whatever?
No, that one fits.
Yeah.
That one fits.
But you guys taught me way more than I ever wanted to know about, you know, sort of the daylight between kind of the average member of the far right and Alex Jones, who believes that, you know, the literal Christian devil is coordinating with the globalists to, you know, undermine human civilization. Yeah.
Not much.
Are you sure?
But if I'm just kind of a generalized pro-Trump, trying to process 1/6, do I know who Owen Schroyer is?
That's interesting.
I would doubt it. I would doubt that you know him unless you are like a straight up Proud Boy kind of level. Mm. You have to be one step above an initiation to the Scientology club, you know?
What do you think Alex InfoWars' reach is exactly? Do we know that? Can we quantify that?
It could be anywhere from just Dan to maybe 1,000 people. I have no idea.
If it's just Dan, you must be buying a lot of supplements. Like, somehow you're keeping up his advertiser numbers there.
I will not confirm or deny this, but I will say I'm in terrible shape. So draw whatever conclusion from that.
I was going to say that could go either way. Does that mean you're using them and they suck, or you're not using them? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think Alex's reach is pretty large as a whole. And I think it's less than it was back when he was on YouTube and all the social media stuff. But the band.video, the website that he's created, has enough centralization and enough like awareness that I think that he's created at least a bedrock of something that is, you know, it's considerable. It's not in the millions upon millions or anything, but it's not negligible.
Yeah, like 500,000 on a good video. It's probably about 500,000.
Maybe
views.
A million.
Yeah.
What percentage of the Republican base do you think is like familiar with this stuff? Or is it more that his influence is, it starts on his wacky show and then it filters upward to
Tucker,
sideways to Tucker Carlson.
Like, I mean, that's right. My impression is, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my impression is that like Alex Jones is kind of the minor leagues for Tucker Carlson. Is that a fair?
He's kind of existed in a lot of that space for quite a while. Like, his role is, I would describe it like back in earlier times in like 2009, was to launder extreme right-wing stuff on like Fox News and Glenn Beck and stuff by being the person that people could point to and be like, well, I'm not Alex Jones. Yeah. I'm not that guy. Right. I might be crying at a chalkboard, but I'm not Alex. So
listen, there's evil Satanists ruling the world, of course, but they're not in a team called the Globalists. That'd be stupid. Come on. Yeah. We're not Alex Jones. Anyways, everyone who hates you is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now he kind of exists as like almost a testing ground kind of for these. What narratives have proof of concept?
Like when the minor leagues introduced the pitch clock before it went to the major leagues. It's kind of like that.
See
like,
if it works.
Yeah.
If it does, then Tucker might give it a try. Maybe Joe Rogan will bat it around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everyone will be sad and people will die.
And then the far right will take it over and it'll eventually destroy us all.
My impression is that they're able to be that testing ground. And when something doesn't work, they're just like, all right, forget that. And nobody's like, hey, you tried to get us to believe that the lizard, you know, whatever the insane thing is. It is kind of interesting that you get to just be like this little evolutionary kind of petri dish. And then whatever takes gets to filter up to the mainstream.
Yeah. And I'm always amazed by that. That's something that we constantly have to deal with, is like that discontinuity between yesterday and today.
Yeah.
You guys pointed this out in recent episodes. It was like a week ago, Alex Jones was saying that, you know, Matt Drudge and Drudge Report was taken over and rotting from the inside. And then, you know, it's like everyone's a goldfish in his audience that like 3 days later, there's a story on Drudge Report. And he's like, well, you know, Matt Drudge is back running the Drudge Report again.
Yep.
And
he's wrestled some control back.
Yeah. What does that even mean? No, it's weird. He makes like years long, decades long predictions, but every single day is a new day. Yeah. You know, it's like all of that stuff that I said was going to happen 2 years from now. Don't worry about that. Stuff that's going to happen 2 years from now is new today.
Well, who could possibly keep track of it all besides you guys?
And I even have a difficult time with it sometimes. Like there's so many things that like listeners have emailed me about them. Like, I forgot he said that. That's nuts. And you can only keep so much in your head. And I think Alex exploits that with the listeners. And that's kind of like,
well, that's the Steve Bannon, you fill everybody up with shit until nobody knows what the truth is kind of philosophy there.
So Owen did surrender himself to the authorities on Monday, as far as we know.
He did, based on his telling of it. Yeah. And I have no reason to doubt that, even though like the only like confirmation I really have is his own word.
He went back on the air after that.
Oh yeah. He was on the 24th. He was on Alex's show and he was back to hosting the War Room.
Speaking as a lawyer, don't take legal advice from a podcast. When you've been arrested, maybe don't go on the air to talk about your crimes, but,
freebie. On InfoWars, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And if possible, commit another crime while talking about it.
Well, and that's a perfect segue, because let's talk about the two counts that are in this indictment. I mean, let me cut to the punchline. Neither of these are a serious charge. Neither of these are going to result in any prison time for Owen Schroyer unless he does something stupid in addition to this, which, spoiler alert, we already know he's likely to do. So he's charged, and this is in connection with 1-6, with the 1-6 insurrection. He's charged with violating 18 U.S.C. section 1752. That is, whoever knowingly enters or remains in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority to do so, or knowingly and with intent to impede or disrupt the orderly conduct of government business or official functions, engages in disruptive conduct that impedes such official business. The punishment there is listed as a fine or imprisonment for not more than 10 years or both. But under the federal sentencing guidelines, what really counts is this carries a base offense level of 4. That puts you squarely in the category of you get probation, you get a suspended sentence. So long as you're not in prior offender category 6, which is I've previously done 10 years in prison. And then the second count that he's charged with is 40 U.S.C. section 5104E, which is violent entry and disorderly conduct. And again, this is essentially an aggravated trespass charge, right? An individual may not willfully and knowingly utter loud, threatening, or abusive language or engage in disorderly or disruptive conduct at any place in the grounds or any of the Capitol buildings with intent to impede, distribute, or disrupt or disturb the orderly conduct of a session of Congress. So this is
That's a long way of saying don't be an asshole while we're at work, but yeah, I get it.
Don't bother us.
You're being a real dick.
Right.
Yeah. We're working.
Also, Jordan's not allowed at the Capitol.
Yeah, Jordan's not allowed there. That's just an important rule for everyone.
Not be loud and disruptive.
Well, again, we tell you guys are professionals because, so first framing question, Owen Schroyer was there as part of an Alex Jones rally outside the Capitol on 1-6, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was part of the like march that went from the Ellipse to the Capitol.
Yeah. And Owen didn't do anything substantively different than what Alex Jones did, than what any of the rest of that group did.
Right? I always have to give this caveat that as far as I know.
Yeah.
I obviously haven't watched like raw footage of everything that everybody did. But as far as I can tell from available information, Owen was basically doing all the exact same things as Alex on the 6th. Although the evening of the 5th, Owen did take video of himself burning a Black Lives Matter flag in the street in D.C. So, and Alex was not there.
Yeah.
So there's that.
It's easier to see Owen doing something dumber and more extreme because he's a younger and dumber version of Alex. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah. Not good.
That's a low bar to limbo under, but
I would say that Owen's younger, so he's more like testosterone, but then again, I don't know what's in those pills.
Yeah.
I do testosterone. A lot of it.
So my theory when I read this indictment and yours that you espoused on your show is that so long as you're allowed to be there, there's going to be some leeway if you haven't entered the Capitol grounds. But as it turns out, there was a pre-existing order telling Owen Schroyer not to do the exact thing that he decided to do. So I have what's listed in the complaint, and we can kind of talk about those touch points. But I suspect that you guys know in better detail what happened on December 9th, 2019.
A little bit. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself an expert on what happened in 2019.
I'll tell you, a short version of it is he went and was an asshole while people were at work. Yeah. That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, he needed to make a scene in the House Judiciary Committees. They were having a session about the impeachment, and he started screaming and had to be taken out of the room.
He
and
went he into got the charged Capitol building
with
and
making
was,
a disruption.
He's
of,
an asshole.
Yeah.
So this is impeachment one on Ukraine, and Schroyer is at the House Judiciary Committee. And is he there as a representative of InfoWars? What's he doing?
That's a great question. And one you would never get an answer, a straight answer from either Alex or Owen about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure if he had done something heroic, he would have been there on official business. And right. Since he got arrested, he was on his own.
It was my idea. I had the whole plan. He was just the person on the ground. And then if he's arrested, never met that guy. You know, I don't get involved with this kind of stuff here. He's an independent contractor.
Yeah. Who's this Jonathan Schroyer?
Well, that, you know, that's going to come up because there is a real question about how the DOJ goes about arresting journalists in connection with disturbances like this. And it's something that the judge in this particular case has wrestled with. So but put a pin in that. My understanding is the first time that Owen Schroyer decided to disrupt Congress where they work, he was charged with a couple of state law criminal offenses that are essentially the equivalent of what we've just talked about, right? Various violations of the DC statute for disorderly and disruptive conduct on the U.S. Capitol grounds.
That's my understanding as well.
Essentially, looks like he reached a plea deal that was going to be almost certainly we can infer, you know, a fine, no jail time. Again, this is state prosecutors entered into what we call a deferred prosecution agreement, right? And that says, hey, we're going to give you your deal. But you've got to do a couple of things first.
Yeah.
And here, this was not a very onerous DPA. He had to complete 32 hours of community service.
That's so much community service. How could anyone do all that hours?
They wanted to enslave this man.
Were they going to pay him? No.
I think you actually do get a small amount of compensation for you.
No! Your days. That almost makes me madder now.
Fair enough. And as far as I can tell, am I right about this? So that was February of 2020.
That was when the DPA was, yeah.
And
what's the DPA? What?
The deferred prosecution.
Oh, agreement. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So I'm not a lawyer, unlike you three. Sorry.
It's just the three of us lawyers are going to chat in the background.
Sure. I'm just trying to keep up.
Hey, if you're just quiet until you scream, nobody knows the difference.
I did it just so I could call myself Esquire. Can I do that?
Yeah. You can absolutely call yourself Esquire.
All right. So you have the DPA entered into in February of 2020. And then it's 10 and a half months later. It's January of 2021. Owen and his friends are thinking of doing a little light treason down at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is by this point in time, he had completed in 11 months time, 10 and a half months time, he had completed 0 hours of community service.
He has a full-time job. When is he supposed to do 32 hours of anything?
Yeah, well, he could have done an hour a week for 32
weeks. No. That's too much. What are you going to... Fridays and Saturdays are his days.
How fine-grained... Sunday's the Lord's day. How much do they let you divide it out? Because you'd be like, I'm going to do 4 minutes a day
for
30 years or whatever. I don't know.
He works at InfoWars, all right? One of the job requirements is 15 hours a day of research.
Yeah.
And so... Obviously, that's community service. He's serving the community. I don't understand what the problem is here.
Who could call working at InfoWars anything other than community service?
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
This whole system needs to be put on trial. Yeah, so he did nothing.
No, he didn't do shit.
But also, this is also taking sort of the glasses half empty approach, because the other condition of his deferred prosecution was that he couldn't commit any crimes. And as far as we know, he held up that part of the bargain.
For a while.
Yeah.
Well, you say the other part, but paragraph number two also says the defendant agrees not to parade, demonstrate, or picket within any of the Capitol buildings.
Oh, wait. So he did commit a crime.
So even if this is not right. So, and that's part of what a DPA does, right? You can attach conditions that are not in and of themselves criminal, that if you violate those conditions, it vitiates the underlying agreement, right?
I don't see him violating any of those conditions. He wasn't parading. I didn't see any floats. There was no demonstration. He can't picket because he doesn't know how to hold a sign. See, Your Honor, not guilty.
Okay. Counsel's argument is noted for the record. Let's move back to paragraph one, which says the defendant agrees not to utter loud, threatening, or abusive language or to engage in any disorderly or disruptive conduct at any place within the U.S. Capitol grounds or within any of the Capitol buildings.
I'd like to enter into evidence the First Amendment. Slam dunk. I'm out of here.
Very clearly violated the DPA.
Yeah, sure.
And that's why, you know, he's been swept into this and nobody else, right? Like you would not.
Right. No.
And again, nobody, as far as we know, I appreciate your disclaimer. That's very lawyerly of you. Nobody from InfoWars breached the Capitol building. Certainly none of them went onto the floor of the Senate, right?
No, that's not accurate.
Oh.
There was a cameraman that works at InfoWars who filmed himself going into the Capitol. And there's actually unfortunate video you can find. I'm not sure if Alex still has this up. It'd be unwise if he did. But he has one of his cameramen is going into the Capitol, and as he's walking in the door, he's doing a commercial for InfoWars. It's pretty unfortunate timing.
That's what we call a bad document here on Open.
Yeah, so there was that guy. I can't remember his name. He's not like a major, like he's not an on-air person at InfoWars. Yeah. But yeah, there was that guy, and then one of Owen's associates was there when right next to where Ashley Babbitt got shot. I don't remember his name either. He's also someone who wasn't important, but he was somebody who was with Owen the night before when they were burning that Black Lives Matter flag. And they think they
Hanging out at the bar with hotel room with Alex. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are definite like very close associations. Oh, and Rambo Joe Biggs of the Proud Boys used to work at InfoWars, and he was definitely in the Capitol. So there's some folks who are like definitely in the mix.
So kind of sidebar question then, how is, and obviously, you know, I'm familiar with Alex Jones, probably a lot of our listeners who are not, you know, living him every day are familiar with Alex Jones from the multiple defamation suits from Sandy Hook parents arguing that the Sandy Hook mass school shootings were a false flag, that they didn't really happen, that they employed crisis actors. What is the Alex Jones / Owen Schroyer position on what happened on 1/6?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. It was a false flag done by provocateurs to absolutely destroy the far right. Now, everything that they were fighting for was 100% correct. Totally. And it should happen again. Absolutely. But, Nobody's saying that it shouldn't happen again. Now, I'm not inspiring people to commit violence. If they do win, though, I'm on your team.
Yeah, it's changed a bit.
Yeah, I mean, because they were there, right? Yeah. Like, it's kind of hard, right? If Alex Jones had been at the Sandy Hook shooting, it would be, well, I don't know. I withdraw the second half of that statement.
Say, where are you going with this? They can say anything they want at any time. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Alex could be caught with his hands around the throat of a man he just strangled to death and would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. This was done by false flag provocateurs.
It was David Rockefeller.
Exactly. Yeah, it was somebody who was dressed like me.
He's dead, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that it was a tough thing to figure out for everyone in that community as it was happening, because I don't think that anybody actually expected that that would happen, except for a very small number of people who very much planned on that happening.
Yeah.
And so we watched, of course, like over the course of the day on Alex's show, and the coverage was drastically shifted. Like as it was happening, the guy who was filling in, Harrison Smith, the host, he was like, the Capitol has fallen, the Patriots are in charge, and all this. He was like celebrating.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Alex was able to get away from all the brouhaha and get to a camera feed, he was trying to spin a false flag angle on it. Because I think he realized that like this was a pretty serious event, and it doesn't really actually look good for his side. And so that's been kind of where he's landed on it. It's kind of the QAnon is run by Democrat globalists, and they were provocateuring people to go into the Capitol in order to make all of the people who had valid arguments that the election was stolen look like crazy people. That's kind of a good boil down.
That's the public line. I would say probably the most likely thing that they actually feel is, we like what you are doing, but we should have done it when we could have won instead of at the time, whenever it made us all look like a bunch of idiots. Like, they would have preferred there was an actual army there and they could have actually taken over the country. That's why Harrison Smith said the Capitol has fallen, is because they really did want the Capitol to fall.
Yeah,
like, I mean, straight up overthrow the country.
It's, well, whether or not the people on InfoWars will openly discuss that too much, people like Stuart Rhodes certainly have, and he's done that on InfoWars as a guest. And so it's hard to hear someone like Harrison saying, like, the Capitol has fallen, and not have that feeling of, like, you kind of hope that there's, like, a junta.
Yeah, and it's not like he said it with, you know, like, oh, the Capitol has fallen. No, it was with glee.
Yeah.
The Capitol has fallen! Hooray! Yeah, no, it was bad. Yeah.
So what's the all this Owen stuff then? What was the whole point? Is it just they're trying to make something out of nothing? Are they trying to say like there's a crackdown on them? Like, is that the point of this? They're trying to inflate what's happening to them?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the point is. Owen Schroyer has raised $250,000 for his legal defense fund.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a grifter.
It's a grift like anything else.
It's a huge shady windfall.
Ass lawyers are just, I mean, we're finally, you know, there's some consequences for a few of them that we had love to talk about on the show, obviously, but also they're having a renaissance or something, or maybe they never like we're gone. But yeah, just being able to like cash in on these bogus things, because nobody really goes after the lawyers who collect those, you know, like massive bills in defending these people.
Such a great hustle.
Except for Judge Parker in Detroit.
Yep. This show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Folks, there are some things in life that I like to pick out myself so I know that I've gotten the one that's best for me. Whether it's meals or bottles of wine. Oh, that's a big one. Mattresses. There are certain things where you know you have your taste and you don't really want someone else to pick it out for you. Well, what if you could do the same thing for hiring? Choose your ideal candidate before they even apply. That's where ZipRecruiter's invite to apply comes in. It gives you, as the hiring manager, the power to pick your favorites from top candidates. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/OA. How does invite to apply work? Well, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, they send you the most qualified people for your job. Then you can easily review the candidates and invite your top choices to apply for the job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisition for Mendula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's invite to apply. She says, "I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates. It's easy for me and it's easy for them." In fact, according to ZipRecruiter internal data, jobs where employers use ZipRecruiter's invite to apply get, on average, 2.5 times more candidates, which helps make for a faster hiring process. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/OA, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/OA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This show is brought to you by X-Chair. Oh, it's my favorite time again when I get to tell you about X-Chair while sitting in my very own X-Chair. The unknown came in 2020 and changed the workplace forever. While some of us are getting back to the office, some of us find ourselves in a new normal at home. Let me give you a tip, folks. Are you working from home and has your back or neck been bothering you and you're just not sure why? If you haven't caught on yet, it's because you're probably sitting in a bad chair or you're sitting on the couch or you're sitting in something not meant for you to be sitting in all day. And so I think you should get an X chair. The future of work has changed, and so has the future of seating. X chair is at the forefront of home and office seating during this transition. And now, X chair's newest innovation, Elimax temperature regulation, will take your seating comfort to a whole new level. Patent pending Elimax allows you to experience cooling, heating, and massage in your low back. Feeling a bit warm this summer? Yeah, we're on fire as usual. Set your Elimax to cooling. I'm going to need double Elimax cooling for mine. The air conditioning in your home office cranked up too high? Set your Elimax to heating so you can warm up and soothe those tired muscles. Feeling stressed from too many Zoom calls? Turn on Elimax massage therapy and relax. X-Chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already best in class with incredible responsive low back support. Now, with Elimax, your comfort is guaranteed. You won't believe the difference until you feel it for yourself. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. X-Chair Elimax delivers cooling, heat, and massage technology directly to your core, regulating body temperature and helping increase blood flow, muscle recovery, and energy. All perks that make working from home or the office a joy. There's never been a better time to ditch that old no-name office chair and boost your productivity by treating yourself to the joys of X-Chair. Go to xchairoa.com. That's the letter X, chair, OA.com, or call 1-844-4X-CHAIR and save $100 on your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairoa.com now and use code XWheels for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchairoa.com.
That sanctions order came out yesterday, and it just, to the degree that it dovetails with what you just said, there is a footnote that specifically says, because the Sidney Powell and the rest of the team of morons assembled in that case.
You're talking Kraken here.
The Kraken lawyers, yes, were ordered to pay the entirety of the defense fees for the state of Michigan and the city of Detroit in connection with their insane litigation over replacing the elections. I have to tell you, the footnote, Judge Parker says, "I am troubled by the fact that Sidney Powell continues to raise money on her website as a result of the conduct that I'm sanctioning here. I'm especially troubled by the fact that she may pay off the fine in donations that are crowdfunded. And I would encourage, this is the quote from the footnote, I would encourage the reviewing body determining whether to disbar Ms. Powell to take a look at how those funds are repaid. So, I mean, we don't always have a lot of great news.
Ah, the wings of justice move swift, my friends.
There you go. At least one judge has noticed that, you know, there seems to be this cycle of grift of, you know, that exceeds my ability to impose meaningful penalties. But
I mean, whoever's taking this money to defend Owen or, you know, whatever, like, as long as they don't completely slander a company or whatever in the way that the Kraken people did, almost nothing seems to happen to them, right?
And I would like to suggest that $250,000 is not going to Owen's lawyers.
No.
You could
have a quarter of a dollar and get probation on these charges, right?
Like, you could represent yourself.
Yeah, he very likely has.
Oh,
right?
Good point.
Like, so they are almost certainly just grifting that.
This is a total scam and a huge payday for them. And I mean, man, on the level
I'm being arrested. Oh, there's some capital officer thugs coming through. They're arresting me right now on live on air. I'm going to need.
I mean, here's the worst part for this. Owen, you got to realize that you're not going to get to keep that money. You went there. You got the arrest. You didn't do the community service. So you deserve this money, right?
by their logic.
Didn't do all 32 hours.
Alex needs that money to keep the operation going. But
right,
the good
I mean,
news
it's on
is,
a shoestring budget. And,
the good news is the war room's not going to get canceled.
That's true. Yeah, the war room's got another few months of budget.
Looks like he brought in $250,000 this quarter.
It is up for a new season. Like, him getting arrested was almost like getting a big sale at a fucking company. Like, whoa, hey, good guy, good job, man.
It's going to get him the Glengarry lead.
They need that money in their operating budget to buy just buckets and buckets of bullshit to sell to the people. You know, it's a high inventory cost business.
Might not have to hang out with Mike Lindell anymore.
Yeah.
So I want to bring kind of one last interesting piece of information from this and get your thoughts on it. And that is, associated with the arrest warrant was a subsequent addendum order. And that is the magistrate judge, Zia Faruqi, as a U.S. magistrate judge, he's nonpartisan. He is not appointed for life. He was not appointed by President Trump in 2020. He's been on the federal bench for less than a year. And so the same day that the arrest warrant was issued, he, as the magistrate judge who signed off on the warrant, had a telephone conference with the Justice Department. And the question that he had was, hey, you're arresting a member of the media. I mean, Owen Schroyer, it seems like it's fair to describe him as a member of the media, right? Like, he has a journalistic background. I get, you know, he's a garbage monster, but
I think the reason I was nodding is because I think it's a conversation for sure. Like, I don't know what the...
I think it's a short one, though, and it goes like this. Are you sure you want to arrest this member of the media? And he goes, no, Your Honor, this is a world-class asshole. And all he had to do was 32 goddamn hours of community service, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So how about just charge him?
Well, that's something, because he did agree to the deferred prosecution, whether or not
it's
he is
all on him
in the media.
Yeah.
But I think that there's and I'm not sure I have the full answer for it. But I mean, like, someone who is in the media when acting as a private person is still responsible for their actions according to the law, you know, like. It's not like you get to do whatever you want. You can't disrupt things.
Diplomatic immunity.
If I murder somebody, but I live stream it on Twitch as a journalist, then it's fine. It's a free murder.
Right.
No, no. And again, this is 20 CFR section 50.10. It is just that the DOJ has a separate policy if you are arresting a member of the media, because there are potentially for, you know, potential First Amendment concerns that are not present when you're talking about arresting an ordinary citizen. Mm-hmm. And so the magistrate judge asked DOJ, that the U.S. attorney prosecuting this case, hey, number one, do you consider Schroyer to be a member of the media? And number two, if so, have you complied with those internal policies regarding the arrest of media members? And, you know, would you sign off in an official document? And the DOJ responded, and here's how it summarized. The U.S. Attorney's Office represented that it had followed its internal guidelines, but was unwilling to memorialize that or explain the bases for its determinations. Huh. So, in other words, in the
I don't want you guys to know why we're doing this.
No. Hold on. Let me see if I understand this correctly.
Yeah.
They followed the processes that they would if they were arresting a journalist, but they don't want to dignify Owen by labeling
him. That is exactly right. That is exactly right. We are not going to commit to writing in this case that Owen Schroyer is a journalist. We reserve the right to say that he is not.
Well done.
And the judge, I mean, essentially said, look, it doesn't, you know, for purposes of this arrest warrant, it does not matter, right?
Yeah.
Like he's clearly in violation of his DPA. The facts alleged would support regardless of one way or the other. But the end of the opinion has the who watches the watchman quote and says, you know, I continue to be troubled that the DOJ has not taken a position in this matter. So,
and then they responded, you can't make me say he's a journalist.
that's pretty much what they've done.
He's like, there's a First Amendment goes both ways. I can't be forced to say something like that.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's really disrespectful and I enjoy it.
I thought you might. So.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That actually brightens my day. Thank you for telling me about that.
It's also a nice way to sidestep actually having to get into why he's not a journalist, because then you'd have to codify like, oh, so everybody who does this stuff isn't a journalist, and everybody who does, let's just let Owen be Owen, who's not a journalist, and we don't have to deal with it any further.
Yeah, but it is nice that there is indications that they followed their internal processes as if he were, because you know, you want to give people, I think in life, shitheads need to be given the most benefit of the doubt because they're the people who are going to exploit instances where you don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably pretty good handling.
I would agree.
That was my policy whenever I worked in at a movie theater was anyone who was an asshole, I would give the best customer service to.
I like it.
Yeah, because they're just going to be more of an asshole if I don't.
Wow. And then you're an asshole to all the nice people. And they're like, God, why was he such an asshole to me? I don't even do anything.
There's this one guy who tipped me and I punched him.
Yeah. Well, on that note.
Well, I am definitely not going to compliment you on
your opening. All right, we got this really lousy podcasters on as guests. Yeah, bye, losers. No. we'll keep an eye on this Owen person's promising, you know, career going forward. I'm sure you'll have a spinoff show of all about him. Yeah.
He's going to prison for sure.
Let's hope.
He's going to buy a new car.
He's not going to prison for this, but with this guy's track record, he's on the path to where he needs to go.
What? On a final note, please donate to my legal defense. I'm not facing any charges, but I might. And like you know, the way you keep yourself from facing charges is $250,000 just up front. You know,
it's like, really important that people chip in.
Honestly,
this is a good cause.
There's a next step to the right wing grift, and it's going to be just donate because we're eventually going to have legal troubles.
That's what I was getting at. Like the way you know your donation worked is that I'm not in legal jeopardy. That's how you know your donation was effective. So thank you for donating to my GoFundMe. Hey, so if people want to listen to Knowledge Fight or follow you or something, where should they go?
KnowledgeFight.com is our website. Mm-hmm. That is the sort of hub.
Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter at @knowledge_fight, and I'm at GoToBedJordan.
And I hate social media.
That's true.
That's such a good thing, though. That you're not on it. That's brilliant.
It's the worst.
It's way better.
I would say that's amazing, except you're filling your head with Alex Jones.
Yeah, right.
Like that's you're like clean living, man. No social media, and
I mainline heroin through the eyeballs.
Yeah. I don't want to read these mean comments and all this bad news on Twitter. I am just going to relax with a calm, warm glass of Alex Jones.
No, I've battle hardened myself to Alex Jones, and it's not bad comments I'm avoiding on Twitter. It's good comments.
That's fair. That's
because you're punching
people saying really nice things because it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks so much, Dan and Jordan. Everybody check out Knowledge Fight, of course. keep an eye on Owen, whatever, in his future InfoWars career.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for coming on, guys.
Oh, no associate of this firm has ever failed the bar exam.
No kidding.
And now it's time for T3BE answer time. Oh, man. Let's see if I pulled this one off.
Thomas, this was a student, private university, perhaps your university, sued in federal court for negligence after he fell from scaffolding in the theater building. At trial, the court allowed the jury to hear testimony that there had been several previous accidents in the same building. The jury found for the student. The university appealed. One of the arguments on appeal was you shouldn't have admitted that evidence. What standard of review applies to the university's argument on appeal? A, abuse of discretion. B, clearly erroneous. C, de novo. D, harmless error. So first thing you did was you got rid of C and D. Not only do I love the boldness because you got rid of, you know, the two most extreme answers. This is exactly correct. So let's start off with D. Harmless error is not a standard of review.
Yeah, but
it's not a standard of review at all. It's a finding, right? Like, yeah. So when an appellate court
a harmless
decides,
error standard. That's a weird one.
No, they can say, we have found that there was error, but we find that the error is harmless if it did not affect.
It's more like the result of a standard of review rather than a standard of review.
Exactly right. Okay. So D was by far the worst answer. You wasted no time on that. You also got rid of de novo, which you successfully described, right? You said that seems like that's just we come at it, right? De novo, we come at it new. We have no deference to the trial court. That's the standard you use on questions of law on appeal.
Oh, really?
You successfully narrowed it down. You're like,
but did I almost get that wrong?
On a question of fact, the issue is, does the court apply an abuse of discretion standard, or does it apply the clearly erroneous standard?
Hold on. I'm worried about this de novo thing, because you're saying as a matter of law, you would apply a de novo standard in an appeal. So that sounds almost like what we're talking about. What's the difference?
If it is what they call a pure question of law. So that is, the trial court says the statute of limitations is 3 years. Turns out the statute of limitations is really 5 years, right? That's a pure question of law. The question of has it been, right? The court below determined that this case was filed in 1998 and therefore outside of the statutory period, right, could become a mixed question of fact and law. And mixed questions of fact and law, the law part is de novo on appeal. And the question is, how are the fact part decided? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, it depends on exactly what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? When you were talking about the trier of fact here, the jury, making a conclusion, reaching a conclusion as to a finding of fact, the standard of review of the jury or the judge's fact finding is whether that was a clearly erroneous determination.
Kind of touched on that. Okay.
When you were talking about the standard of when a judge decides whether to admit a piece of evidence or not, the standard of review is, did the judge abuse her discretion in deciding to admit or deny that piece of evidence? So it's A, you and the coin are both winners.
Oh,
I really, really wanted to tell you at the time, because you it was a hard question. It's a very nuanced question. You narrowed it down to the two things that it could plausibly be, and you picked the exact right one for the exact right reason.
So good.
I love it. It makes the day retroactively. You have to go back and, you know, project backwards, but it really does make it.
I mean, with some
day,
quantum entanglement, you know, it did already. The day was great. The perfect day of that episode. And the concept, you know what I mean?
I'm thinking two things. I'm either thinking the L.A. story, like you didn't even know him at the time. I know. But then I projected back and thought about it. or the you know, Bill Murray, like in search of the perfect day in Groundhog Day.
You could. Both it just of those takes a lot of work. Yeah, that's one of my favorite lines. This is great. We got it right. I think the coin did some heavy lifting, too. Like, it was a group effort. So the clearly erroneous is that jury standard. I got a little mixed up either way, but I think I at least touched on that. Because I thought it was like, oh, is it the jury? But you're saying the clearly erroneous standard could also apply to if the judge had, like, You know, like in certain findings.
If you waive a jury trial, if the judge is also acting as the finder of fact,
okay.
Then when the judge says, you know, so let's use last week's example from the sanctions hearing. When the judge says, I find Lynn Wood not to be credible, that is a determination of fact. That is an evaluation of the character of the witness.
And that passes and any standard of review.
Yeah. And a finding of fact, which is then reviewed for, is that finding clearly erroneous? No, by the way. So that's how you could apply those two different standards in two different ways.
Awesome. I nailed it, though. The other thing I was going to say is this is the kind of question that the experience of being on OA really has made a difference on that. Like, I would have, 4 or 5 years ago, I would have just been lost in this question, I think. But like, you've taught me well. I've learned something about these terms. I'm so happy. What a great day. And let's find out who the big winner is, who is also very happy.
All right, Thomas, this week's winner is Irene Wendy Wode on Twitter, who writes, T3B, have to go with A on this one. It's not a classic abuse of discretion, like allowing someone to strangle a witness, but it seems like it might still fall into the same general category. Well, Irene, you got it exactly right, and congratulations on being this week's winner. Everyone, let's give them a follow. That is at QWanderer7 on Twitter. QWanderer7. And congratulations, Irene, on being this week's winner.
And thank you!
And now it's time to thank our Hall of Famers, our all-time greats, on patreon.com/law. You know, we still haven't fully resolved the shortenings of this segment, so
we're working on it.
We want to make sure we do the right thing, though, and we don't want to, so still pending, we may shorten this in the future. I think we probably will shorten it, but for now, we're going to thank all 202 of our Hall of Fame patrons. I can't even believe it. I think it's my turn to go first. And thank you too. Ludmila Pavlchenko is my hero. Atomic Penguin at Atomic Penguin 7 on Twitter. Still Want Wilkie. Joseph Vigiano. Ghost Dog. Statehood for DC and Puerto Rico now. Dr. Scoop Little. Matt Dunlap. Now here's something we hope you'll really like. Two Californians who aren't fans of Newsom but are voting to keep him in. Comedian Aaron Trahan, aka Game Jumper X. Hand-woven, machine-washable, natural fibers, kellywoveit.com. Trains are the most fuel-efficient way to move cargo in the world. That thing in the attic. The fat Jedi eating cake and drinking Emperor's Brewery beer in the Death Star canteen. Republicans promised me court packing if Biden got elected. Where is my packed court? Liberals own guns, too. Support root cause mitigation, not ineffective gun control. That guy. The Coins family. All in favor of Judge Linda Parker for Supreme Court, signal by exclaiming, IEE, what a great sanctions ruling. Yeah, wow. Well done with that patron name. Ateo, support Decarcerate, working to end mass incarceration in Arkansas, decarcerateAR.org. January 20, baby. Social justice alchemy, I agree with that 69%. Everyone knows that collateral estoppel was Bart Simpson's teacher. Yeah, Mrs. Krabappel. Thomas and Andrew can read your name in 15 minutes or less while supplies last. Tell Morgan, Gatom's son. Zach Bloom, Ray, Pizza School the Corgi is in State A. His treats are in State B. And Human is in State C on vacation. In what court should he? LiveBaseballScorecards.com. Legal Eagle, so handsome. California employment, work accent, or litigation questions, call or text attorney David Nitka, 310-776-5879. Again, 310-776-5879. The Smiths, praise be unto Hamilton. EMS in my area starts at $9 an hour. Vote to make us essential, not just expendable. That mansion is vote 50 is our fault, not his. So let's get at it. I get a raise, you get a raise. Want to meet the crazy dog, horse, goat, chicken, lady crew? Well, I'm paying you to say yes, so here goes. We'll start with the horses. Rest in peace, Brandon Bernard. We must abolish the death penalty. Budget Botanist is back from vacation. Never been a tequila person, but willing to try Sparkle Donkey. PSA, contact your financial advisor if the duration of your Patreon list reading lasts longer than 4 hours. Nice. Sparkle Donkey Tequila, the world's best tequila in the world. See the history at sparkledonkey.com. New book, The Greatest Gift of All, A Logical Path from Religion to Humanism by Mark McLean, out December 30th, pre-order now. One fabulous lesbian still disguised as a mediocre straight guy. Sorry for making y'all try to say my friend's cat's name. I was proving to her that I'm a patron. To our enchantment leyline text, players can't gain life, damage can't be prevented. Nail the blue and black ones and we'll move on. So a red leyline, I actually don't remember that one. It sounds a lot like the 2R, you know, famous enchantment that I'm blanking on the name. Bloodline, blood something. Anyway, it sounds a lot like that original 2R card. The blue and the black ones. What were the blue and the black? I don't think I used anything, but one of them's you can't something mill cards. I don't know. I think the white one is the only one I really used. So sorry, don't remember. Oh, Leyline of the Void is one. That's the black one. Leyline of the something. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. I got a couple of them. Sucker for 90s slasher films. The more meta, the better. Just get the clown horning vaccine, you clown horning clown horns. Adam Borchoff. I like my pork streak paired with at Casa Agria and at Emperor's Brewery beer. 75% of Tulare County's DAs have less than 2 years experience and they're doing felonies. Some are only provisionally licensed. I wonder if anyone has used Patreon username shoutouts to send coded messages. Anyway, here's a bunch of unrelated phrases. Lee Sharp, GDT says, Terpsichore's lawsuit is like Lieutenant Dan, it ain't got no legs. Thomas Kleberg, Benghazi and the Buttery Males, Brian K., Buddy Freaking Geyerson, keep the Hall of Fame shoutouts. Supreme Court justices should have 18-year term limits, and so should Conrad Michaels. No coin at this firm has ever failed the bar exam. Two Fabulous Lesbians, just read a quarter of the names every Monday. We still get on the show once a month, and you can tell us the deadline to update. Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. We may do that one. Edgy Veggie, Les Deux Les Bien Fabuleux, Bob Newhouse, Sassy Italy Tours, doesn't know if touring is ever going to be a thing, but we banned MTG just in case. I suppose that's Marjorie Taylor Greene and not Magic the Gathering, I think. Jennifer Chikowski, D&D minus cameo, question mark. I would love to. We have legal advice. If ye have coin, do not take legal advice from a coin. Mutually supported communities are harder to oppress. Join or create a local mutual aid group. Mike Hall, Evie Huntington, Harvard alum, no hood. I would like to congratulate Angus the Corgi. I watched him win in 2019 and cheered on his 2021 title defense. I enjoy mocking people who mispronounce adopted French words that mean a peculiar ability. I guess I am a fort teaser. Torsten Peel and a goat asks, wouldst thou like to live deliciously? Elect Thomas Smith, President, American Honky Tonk Bar Association. Support your local Peruvian restaurant. Angry Macface, there's a goat. Why is there a goat? Penelope is glad Sydney got sanctioned for Terpsichore. The Books That Burn podcast, reviewing fictional depictions of trauma since 2019. This is not the greatest patron name in the world. No, this is just a tribute. Support AfricaPartnersMedical.org, providing volunteer U.S. MDs and RNs to bring the latest science-based practice to African MDs and RNs. April Poff, don't call me a mofo. I will have you know I'm an ex-mofo. I was a mofo for show, but I ain't a mofo no mo. Murray Gregerson, please give me the strength not to strangle this stupid MFing clown horn sucker. Minneapolis Live Show, come for the subpar baseball, stay for the subpar hockey and men's football, hockey and men's basketball. Well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of my own actions. Actually, we can stop reading patron names anytime we want. It's not a contract and consideration is ongoing. Proud sponsor of Defense Against Any Crowd Health Lawsuit. Learned Handjob. What? Put your boss on a performance improvement plan. Pass the PRO Act. The patron names will continue until morale improves. Chris Waltrip, Jake, Seattle Pete, Crimer No Criming, and Guardian Ab Litem Godot and the Justice League. Whew, your turn, Andrew.
Woo! Supreme Court Justice Learned Hand is one of the most famous 19th century jurists, so hence the Learned Hand job is a really good pun. I like it. Thanks to Christopher Brown, Sam Sater, Philly Live Show 2022. I'll bring the cheesesteaks to the fully stocked basement bar Platinum Night. Lawful Copter says, Andrew and Thomas, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for everything you guys do. MR. OA Live Show in Sydney, Australia, please. I won't be vaccinated till October at the earliest. Thanks, government. The coin is rigging T3BE with a Chinese thermostat controlled by an Italian satellite. Odin is starting his first paid law job fighting for incarcerated people's civil rights. Nice. Judge Parker says the Kraken was not just mistaken, but godforsaken, faking something something cooked Linwood's bacon. See, I still said Kraken. Robert M., Lou, Canada has precedent saying Martians can't sue people in Ontario. Jolly versus Pelletier, 1999. I envy them. Oh, I'm going to have to check that one out. Brevity. Nicomo Kaska, famed soldier of fortune at your service. Now that Andrew has mentioned scrums and rugby, OA is my favorite rugby analysis podcast. Black Canyon of the Gunnison Live Show. Gunnison is a town? Wow. Polly Hernandez. These are just simple farmers, people of the land, the common clay of the New West. You know, morons. Emily Rainbow Spence. In times when freedom seems lost, great souls arise to reclaim it. Legendary human barbarian answer at thedeckboxhalifax.com. Another Minneapolitan waiting for our live show in Minneapolis. Jason Copas, one fabulous book thrower. Medicon 7 has a pot for pins and a pot for beans. I read that Dersh claims to hug his former students, so Eli should coach Andrew on how to make use of this opportunity. Darth Mandy Pants, hey Arizona, support Aaron Lieberman for governor. Yeah, I don't know who that is. Spent my charity budget for the year. Help, need everyone to roast the coin on vulgarity for charity. Stop calling him Uncle Frank. Nate Drex has to call him Dad. How much sanction could a sanction if a sanction could sanction Kraken shit? Definitely not an MSNBC spy. Yeah, oh, definitely not. My fully stocked basement bar is your fully stocked basement bar for a Philly live show platinum event. You pick what's on tap. Raleigh, the lab, seconds pizza school's order, adds extra snuggles. Aww. Jennifer Cratch, people who say Illinois are discriminating against the Beastie Boys. Hashtag yeah, time to get
L.
ill.
Yeah. License to L.
I am now going to call that album. It's an album, right? It's not an ilbum. Anyway. What? I think I'm digging myself a hole here.
Yeah.
CivilPoliticsRadio.com.
Wow. You'd get sanctioned for that argument in some courts.
That is true. CivilPoliticsRadio.com, Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Valley Free Radio. My stepdaughter is a fabulous lesbian, and all I got was this Patreon name. Well, it's something. John Bilderback. My friend's cousin mixed Coke with Cop Rocks and he died. Steven Balticate Sandoval, patron goal, register T3BE is continuing legal education course on pleadings. Professor Thomas, T.A. Coin. Give to modestneeds.org. Give to modestneeds.org. Philip Kaiser, Andrea, the arbitrary and capricious. Not that Chris Wallace. COVID showed me I am the kind of guy that wants a little prick. Maybe mankind melting all the icebergs is payback for the Titanic. I must learn Thomas's favorite Fleet Foxes song before the purge. Ooh, I'm sure you can share
May.
That.
Odegaara, 3rd of May.
Oh.
That's it. It's the best.
Sorry for making you use the last one for so long. It was dumb anyway. Pain strumpet, dude. Jonathan, Lord Kinbote. No, Your Honor, I'm not a cat, nor am I a potted plant, but I am a karaoke legend, if that helps. Edit Wikipedia. Yes, you too can contribute to the world's foremost source of free knowledge and maybe get sued by a quack. Milo Meadsong wishes all Stephen Breyers a happy retire now. Join your labor union. Together we bargain, alone we beg. Alfred Wallace. Peter Piper bequeathed pickle peppers producing pickle pepper perpetuities. The swordfish has no natural enemies except for the even mightier penfish. Andrew is always fantastic because Thomas's theme music holds the rights to fabulous. False. Anonymous, wordordins.org, your source for word and phrase origins. My witty names aren't original, and my original names aren't witty. A series of bar suspensions, each more suspendy than the last. RIP, notorious RBG. Nerdgnostic sells art on Society 6. They said I could be anything, so I became two fabulous lesbians. Derek, former undisclosed Red State senior executive branch official, now figuring out next gig. Big Easy Blasphemy. Please don't read this on the pod. We don't need a call out. Thanks for what you do. I think they meant for us not to read that out, but until we decide it, we're going to read it out. So please be kind to your veterinarian. We are overwhelmed and doing the best we can. A string of unpronounceable characters. RondaTheDork.com. Malika Chandler. They said I could be anything, so I became two princes who adore you. Soggy Pants. Support bikeable cities to save America from the scourge of Eli Bosnick in a car. Sakishite Fukusumi. Adopt a homeless pet and oppose decline and ear docking. De jury belly at Pacquis at last. Baby Matthew. Vernon. Heather L. Jeremiah. Is Fancy Microwave Emporium, Ian and Allie, Danny Rosari, Adam Costa, Eli Bosnick. We'll have to reduce patronage amount for a while, but know that we love and appreciate everything you do. Hey, like we always say, you take care of you and yours first. We'll be here. Thank you so much for helping us and supporting us all this time. Teresa, David in Brooklyn, Sam Danow, Mitchell, how is there no spider Loki? Does anyone else smell Indian food? Oh, hi, Noah. I agree with that 100%. Natasha Crunchwrap wants you to support the Justice Policy Institute, Sam Buck, and of course, our all-time great, he who shall never be defeated, Conrad Michaels.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks again to the Knowledge Fight guys. Check out their show if you want to hear a lot about Alex Jones. And they're a lot of fun.
Good plug. They'll never come back now.
Hey, I mean, it's truth in advertising. It is a lot about Alex Jones. And apparently Owen Schroyer. I learned something new today. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you for Rapid Response Friday.
I move for a bad court thingy.
You mean a mistrial?
Yeah, that's why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
This has been Opening Arguments with Andrew and Thomas. If you love the show and want to support future episodes, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/law. If you can't support us financially, it will be a big help if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast delivery vehicle you use. And be sure to tell all your friends about us. For questions, suggestions, and complaints, email us at openarguments@gmail.com. The show notes and links are on our website at www.openargs.com. Be sure to join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/yodelmountain and follow us on Twitter at openargs. This podcast is a production of Opening Arguments Media, LLC, all rights reserved. It is produced with the assistance of transcriptionist Heather Loveridge, production assistant Ashley Smith, and additional contributions from Morgan Stringer and Deborah Smith. Special thanks to Teresa Gomez, who runs our live shows and heads up the OA Wiki. Follow at OA Wiki on Twitter. Additional thanks to the moderators of the Opening Arguments Facebook community, Emily Waters, Alicia Cook, Eric Brewer, Natalie Newell, Brian Ziegenhagen, and Teresa. And finally, thanks to Thomas Smith, who edits the show and created the fabulous theme music, which was used with permission.